It is a Thursday. It's time for the voice of the Jayhawks to join us on the Sports Ticket. And the voice of Jayhawks, of course, is the one and only Brian Haney. Brian, how you doing, my man?
Doing well, Wade. How are you, sir?
I'm good. I'm celebrating finding a whole bunch of calendars, so I know what year it really is here in 2022. So I feel like I'm not lost anymore. And David McCormick apparently is not lost anymore. How about that performance after Coach Self decides to bring him off the bench?
Yeah, that was tremendous. Career high in rebounding and looked in rhythm and in a groove offensively. We saw motion and passion out of him that we haven't seen in quite some time. And he just had an extra bounce. And sometimes that's exactly what it takes to pull the biggest effort out of somebody is a little bit of a motivator like that. That's not to say that he wasn't trying hard before, but I think he was even more dialed in, even more locked in, you know, thought even harder about what he needed to do, you know, to be the best version of himself for Kansas. I think so often if he starts a game and gets off to a rough start offensively, things kind of compound in his mind and he starts pressing a bit. And I think he realized in getting to watch the flow of the game over the first 5 or 6 minutes, if I just come in and rebound and be a big presence on the glass, I could really lift this team. Because you might recall, we didn't have a single rebound the first 5 minutes of the game. Not one. And he comes in and, you know, plays to his size, biggest guy on the floor, getting every rebound, and suddenly the game starts to turn. And so maybe there is something to him being able to watch the start of the game and then come in. I don't know what Self will elect to do in sticking with the Mitch as a starter, David as the first man off, you know, deal, or if ultimately he feels like it's most important to David's self-confidence to be a starter. I'm not sure. But for that one night, he was pushing all the right buttons. And I thought Mitch gave Kansas a nice boost the first 4 or 5 minutes, too. It's not like he, you know, didn't do well in his new role either. But to see David and Jalen Wilson go for 15 rebounds each was just what the doctor ordered. It certainly, you know, gives you a lot of optimism and excitement over what this team could look like in March if they're rebounding like that and their bigs, those two in particular, Jalen and David, start to play to their potential a little bit more.
How does a team go from shooting 28% in the first half, missing 19 consecutive shots, not scoring a point in 9 minutes, to shooting 71% in the second half as KU did the other night? I mean, what changed? And I know the obvious part is, well, what changed? The ball started going through the hole. Well, no, something had to have changed.
You know, it's amazing because, A, we've never seen a stretch like that I can recall before. I was asking our sports information team to try to look it up, and they said there was no way they could do it on site that night. I asked a bunch of my friends, can you ever remember 20 missed shots in a row or nearly 10 minutes. It was 9-12 scoreless to close out the half, and then the first 37 seconds of the second half as well. So almost 10 full minutes without scoring. And, you know, you think back to that TCU game in 2013 where we had Bill Self talking about Topeka YMCA.
Yes.
And how poorly they played. And, you know, not even that game had a dry spell like that. And so this was eye-opening, you know, somewhat history-making stuff within the Self era. And yet you come out in the second half, and I do think the pace of the game changed a little bit. I think that we were trying to match their frenetic, you know, guard-induced speed in the second part of that first half. And we got tired, and we took a lot of tired shots and forced shots that weren't within the flow of the offense. It was a little more in the flow in the second half. But then it's just amazing how contagious it can be, because it's not like one guy went off. Mitch got the first hoop to get the lid off the basket, but then you had four different Jayhawks in a span of 6 minutes step up and hit a three. And then it kind of became, you know, a contagious thing at that point where everybody felt at ease. And, you know, it was guys like DeJuan Harris who had a really bad first half, and Self would tell you that. It was not a typical DeJuan first half on either end of the floor. He steps up, hits a big three. Ochai with a huge three to give us the lead back after a nice DeJuan steal that might have been a play of the game. Christian Brown does it for Kansas. You know, Jalen Coleman lands. It was great to see everybody having a hand in it. So I think pace had something to do with it. I think just, you know, watching Kansas hit a couple of shots made a lot of guys kind of loosen up a little bit and not be so tense. And then within the flow of the offense, you just saw everybody start to rise. I love, you know, Bill Self's ability to make halftime adjustments. It's as good as any Kansas coach I've seen. And obviously, you know, Larry Brown was really great at it too, and Roy Williams to a certain degree. But I think Bill's the master at that. I wish I could have been a fly on the wall to hear what he had to say during that halftime speech, because I imagine he was yelling so loud the paint was peeling on those locker room walls after 9 minutes and 12 seconds of not scoring and surrendering a 14-point lead down to nothing. But sure enough, he made all the right moves, and they end up looking as good as they've looked at times and stretches of that second half.
Yeah, I read a comment from, I think it was David McCormick, was asked about coach's reaction at halftime, and he said, well, actually, he was just, you know, the lid will come off. The lid will come off. He was actually kind of positive, at least from the offensive side of things. And the lid obviously came off. And, you know, it's pretty amazing. You know, Oklahoma State is not a great team. They're decent. Don't have Cade Cunningham anymore. That makes a big difference. But when you go on the road, how many teams, Brian, think about this, 9 minutes and 12 seconds, there's 40 minutes in a college basketball game. That's basically 25% of the game KU didn't score and still won by 11 on the road in conference.
Yeah, it's remarkable. I mean, and I actually think Oklahoma State's going to wind up being pretty good. I know it's tough when you lose the number one overall pick in the draft, but they added two McDonald's All-American five-star transfers, one of which was our guy, Bryce Thompson. Cisse kid looked really good athletically, I thought, the other night. And neither of those guys are starting right now, so they're still kind of settling into what they're going to be. And the rest of that team is all back from last year. So I think it's a program that, you know, obviously was shell-shocked at the NCAA ruling, and yeah. They've struggled out of the gates, but to me, that's a win by 11 on the road that's going to look better and better as the season goes on. I don't know that Gallagher, Iowa is going to be a tough venue to win in, as tough as it has been, because, gosh, there were 5,000 empty seats the other night, which I've never seen as the Kansas announcer there. But I do think that OSU is going to get better as the season goes, and they'll be tougher to beat on any floor. So, yeah, to your point, to not score for a quarter of the game and yet still find a way to get a road win in a venue where, by the way,
yes,
Self was only 6-8 all time. You know, this is not our favorite spot to go, and in some regards, you know, this and West Virginia are our least favorite places to go, and yet they find a way to get a win there. So that was huge. And then obviously you saw the stat, 31 consecutive conference opening wins for Kansas. 31 consecutive conference opening wins. 19 of the 31 have been on the road. So for anybody that assumes, well, you know, half of those are in Allen Fieldhouse, they're probably against teams like TCU. Well, this year it was supposed to be in Allen Fieldhouse versus TCU, but COVID canceled it, and so instead they had to extend the streak in a place where Self has his second-worst winning streak of Big 12 venues. So, you know, kudos to the guys for making that happen, and that's just an unreal streak. But it's streaks like that that make you realize why Kansas has the all-time record of 62 conference titles that, you know, nobody else in any conference in America can boast.
Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, brought to you each and every Thursday here on The Ticket by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Becky at 118 North Midland Boulevard, or call them at 738-5701. All right, update us on what you know in regards to COVID. I know Bobby Pettiford, who's been out with an injury, he had COVID-19. The KU, of course, is we've seen K-State now suddenly hit by it pretty hard the other night without their head coach and multiple players against Texas in their home conference opener. Teams and schools, there's some of them that are on pauses. Where do these things stand for KU right now, as you know it?
Well, as we know it, as of this conversation, it 10 a.m. on Thursday morning, we've been pretty fortunate. You know, Bobby, as of, you know, midweek, hadn't spread it to anybody. They were able to get him quarantined and blocked off from these guys. And, you know, I think the way it works at McCarthy Hall, though, you have a roommate, you have your own sleeping quarters, and so it's not like they're in bunk beds or anything, and then this is going to go like wildfire through the team. Part of having one of the nicest, you know, student housing facilities of any basketball program in the country. But, I mean, at any point in time, with the way that the COVID numbers are spiking, you could have an outbreak. And so they're trying to brace themselves for that. We just had an indoor mask mandate put down by Lawrence and Douglas County health officials last night. And so that's going to change the way we do some things at Hawk Talk. And like, everything's about to get a little bit more stringent with, you know, the restrictions and all of that. But, you know, the way they've been doing it is you're only testing if you have symptoms, And hopefully, you know, Kansas remains relatively symptom-free, but it's been my experience just in looking around, you know, these gyms at the fans that are there and the announcers, the media, and the writers. I mean, it seems like everybody's got a little bit of a sniffle right now.
Yes.
And you know, that's not to say that that's COVID at all, but this thing is going through us pretty quickly as a society. And, you know, hopefully if there is any type of flare-up for Kansas like there has been for other programs, that, you know, they're able to get behind this fast and we can resume some kind of normalcy once it makes its way through. But I do know that everybody on the team is vaccinated. According to coach, they're all boosted. And so hopefully if they do get hit at any point, it's going to be relatively mild symptoms and nothing to, you know, worry too much about health-wise. You just hope you don't have to go on pause, like you said, or end up losing games because you had a large chunk of your team out.
Absolutely. All right, so KU's next two games will be in Lubbock, your old stomping grounds, against Texas Tech. That's coming up on Saturday, 2:30 pregame, 3 o'clock tip on Z96.3 Lake, your home for the Jayhawks in North Central Kansas. And then a big game at home, the conference home opener, since the TCU game was postponed from earlier, and that'll be Iowa State coming up on Tuesday night. I don't really want to spend a lot of time on Iowa State because I know you want to take it one game at a time, and Texas Tech, they're dealing with, we were just talking about teams that are dealing with stuff. Texas Tech, a little shorthanded, don't know what their status will be in regards to all their players come Saturday because things are very fluid and things can change on a dime. But assuming Texas Tech is pretty close to full strength, so what do you know about them and how big a challenge would that be for KU on Saturday on the road?
Well, it'll be a great challenge. And, you know, Texas team that folks assumed when Chris Beard left that they're going to take a huge hit. And, you know, he's one of the best up-and-coming young coaches in all of college basketball. But the guy that was the architect to their great defense, which is really what propelled them to the Final Four in 2013 and being within 13 seconds of winning a national championship, the guy that was the key to all of that was Mark Adams. Mark's a 64-year-old head coach, you know, assuming the biggest job of his career in the twilight of his career, but he's got a lot left to give. And he was on the staff when I was down there as part of Tubby Smith's staff as well. And so I'm actually a huge fan of his and do believe that this is a guy that's going to do well at Texas Tech. If he can continue to recruit, you know, half as well as Beard was, then the coaching element of it is going to make them, you know, a tough out every single year that he's down there. And Lubbock, to me, has become right up there with West Virginia, Gallagher, Iba, Hilton Coliseum as some of the toughest venues to go into. I mean, that place really gets raucous, much more so than it did for the bulk of my tenure down there. So, big fan of what he's building. Like you said, they put a scare into the Cyclones last night, even though they were down a couple of good players. And so, I'll be curious to see what the personnel looks like on Saturday. I really don't know yet, but I am going to be talking with some Tech people later today to see the, you know, timetables on those guys. But I would just expect Kansas, you know, to be in an environment where they'll be fired up against a defense that's going to extend half-court pressure, you know, beyond the perimeter and really get up in your business on the catch every single time. And so we got to play dialed in. We got to expect a fight that's every bit as tough, if not tougher, than you know, the other night. And if you do win the game, man, not that those are, you know, the two toughest teams or anything, but to have two road wins under your belt in two of the top five road venues right out the gate,
yeah,
that'd be a pretty good start to the new year. I mean, you still have Baylor twice and Texas twice and all that. I get it. But man, for your opening week in league play, you don't often open with two road games, and you sure don't open with two road games in two of the best venues. But if Kansas could do that, I think much like a golfer who birdies the number one handicap hole or something like that, you'd feel like you had a stroke up on the field. So that's what Kansas is shooting for on Saturday afternoon. And if you're a Chiefs fan, I know it's going to be tough. You got to share loyalties and split priorities and all that stuff. Hey, man, just turn the TV on for the Chiefs and haul you down and turn on the Jayhawk Radio Network, baby. We'd love to have you listening come Saturday afternoon.
I think that's a great way to split the difference. I like that. All right, time for the off-the-wall question. The country musical group Alabama had the number one song in country music back in 1984 with Roll On, 18-wheeler. That brings me to the off-the-wall question, and I had somebody say this not too long ago that they would like to someday drive an 18-wheeler, drive a semi-truck. My dad has done that. I've driven a grain truck, but I've never driven a semi-truck. I don't have a CDL, so I can't do that anyway. But is there any particular vehicle of any kind? It could be It could be ag equipment. It could be a certain sporty car, truck, whatever. Is there any vehicle that is out there that you would love to drive that you never driven before but would like to?
When I was a kid, I used to love Porsche 911s, and I would collect them and put them on the windowsill in my bedroom. I had a line of them. I just thought it was the coolest looking car ever. And I've never even actually ridden in one. Of course, you know, nowadays, you don't hear them talked about as much, but that was the car for me back in the 80s and early 90s. And so if I could ever get behind one and do well enough on the stick shift to not screw up the car too bad, I think that'd be a ton of fun. But yeah, I'm sure if I took some time to think about it, I'd have a much better answer. But as a child, that was always a dream car. And maybe one of these days I'll get my chance to let it rip in a Porsche 911.
I could see you rolling around, Lawrence, in a Porsche 911 with a big smile on your face. I could picture that. I can.
Maybe. I don't know. I'm a little more unassuming. Like, you know, I drive a Toyota Camry, and I'm proud of it. You know, I'm not like big showy guy in a car. But for one day, you know, to rent it and to be out on a country road somewhere, that might be kind of fun.
I like it. Hey, have a great call on Saturday and Tuesday. We'll talk to you next week, Brian.
All right, buddy. Thanks a lot. Take care.
Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, brought to you each and every Thursday by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Becky, 118 North Millen Boulevard, or call them at 738-5701.